Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan right now. Brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. It is our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, fellas. How's it going?
We're doing good. We're live at Globe Life Field for the final Texas Rangers home game of the season. So we're hanging out here hoping people will come see us in the Comerica backyard. But yesterday, as soon as I saw the practice report, I thought about this. Yesterday, you said you weren't so sure about Jerron Bland playing Sunday night, and I just saw on the report he was limited yesterday. I'm sure today will be a big day. What are your thoughts about the progression or lack thereof of Jerron Bland?
Yeah, I think it's a good sign that at least he was limited, and
right,
that was to be expected, right? But they were in pads. And, you know, he would depart. We were out there. He had a helmet and pads on, and he was going through individual drills. So, you know, we'll see how he came out of that and how much he can do again today. But, I mean, okay, that's a good, but then Trayvon Diggs doesn't practice with a knee. So it's almost like they can't get those two guys on the field at the same time.
Right.
I don't think they like each other, Mick. I think
When's that column going to come out, Mickey?
Well, let's let that simmer for a while. You know, it's like one step forward, two steps back. So we'll see where Diggs is today. It could have been, you know, he had a little bit of that knee after Friday's practice, because remember on Saturday they listed him, I think, as questionable,
right,
because of a knee. So maybe he irritated and they just decided they needed to give him some rest. But I'll tell you what, if they go out there and there's no Diggs and there's no Bland, and by the way, also Traquez Bridges was limited with a knee, then suddenly you probably have out there Kair Elam and Robert Rochelle. How do you think that would look against the Green Bay Packer passing game?
Well, and this, that all of a sudden, I'm not saying it would have changed the game hugely, but we talked about, obviously, your practice squad loss yesterday to Houston, and I'm just like, hey, man, we just need bodies out there. Can you?
Well, no. You're exactly right. And, you know, and that's what you would – you know, you would hope to be able to do, but again, maybe some of this stuff is precautionary. I guess we get a better look at what it would be today when they get out back to practice. Because, by the way, Rochelle is on the practice squad, so he would need to be elevated to get him into the game. They elevated him last week, too. Nothing good came out of all that, although the one thing not on the practice squad was, on the injury report was Jadeveon Clowney. So he practiced in pads, which would have been his first padded practice since probably the first week in January.
All right.
Okay. How'd he do?
So, and by the way, you know, I know he said during his interview yesterday that, you know, he would be ready to play. He was ready last week. He was hoping they would put him in. So when everybody kind of cleared out, I asked him, I said, have you ever had to try to do this before, like miss all of training camp, preseason, and then have a week or so of practice and play the next game? And he says, oh, yeah. He goes, look it up. And so he said that in 2019, when the Texans traded him to Seattle.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember, he was franchised, and he hadn't signed the franchise tag.
Oh,
and they
yeah.
They couldn't get together on a long-term deal, and they traded him. And it was like, I don't know, it was a draft choice, third-round pick, and a couple players. So he got traded the last day in August, and they played the opener on September 9th. And he said, go look it up. I played. So I went and looked it up. He played 46 snaps in the game, had two tackles, one sack, one tackle for loss, one quarterback hit, one pass defensed, with basically one or two days of practice with the Seahawks.
So did he have an interception in that game, or was that a different one? Because I got an interception.
I think it was a pass defense.
Oh, okay, all right.
An interception. But he might have. He had everything else, right?
Wow.
And so when we got done talking, before I looked it up, he goes, this ain't new to me.
Okay.
So I go, all right, well, let's go, big boy.
Thank you for that,
Mickey. Yeah,
really,
what was his response to
really
that statement?
Mickey, Reddy Stewart had a pretty good game. How much of that, like, was the familiarity with Eberflus's defense, do you think?
Well, I mean, he'd be familiar with it, but he only played one game in
right.
the regular season with the Bears.
Okay.
Now, he had a couple preseason games, and he balled out. That's why they at least kept him around I believe it was first on the practice squad. But he had an interception return for a touchdown, but again, they kept him around for a year and then didn't keep him the next year. And, you know, this summer he was with Minnesota. But I thought he at least carried out his assignments. You're right. And I thought when, you know, he was asked to cover, I thought he did a decent job in both games. So be interesting to see, you know, if indeed Bland plays, now how much can he play?
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah.
are they going to have to do like they did with Diggs? You know, that first game Diggs played, he basically was on the nickel, but when they were in just base defense, you know, he didn't play those. He only played, what, 20-some snaps that first game.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how much they push him, and a lot might depend on Diggs' availability in the game.
Yeah,
and whether or not those two like each other.
No, I'm not going to put that out there in the world.
Things just don't get easier, you know. And then
true.
You consider on offense, you're missing two of your starters on the offensive line, and, oh, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL.
Yeah.
But other than that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? Yeah.
The running game I've loved so far, and I wanted to get a little more depth with this with Booker out. How are you feeling about him in the run game? And B, the replacement, is it going to, how much is the level going to drop off, or are we going to be okay there?
Well, I think what you want to do is at least get by, right?
And okay.
I would think the first guy up, because of the experience he has with the team, is TJ Bass. And, you know, at least he played some last year. I think he had to start a couple games. So you feel good there. I feel good about Brock Hoffman having to play center. And I think I've said this before, I think he's a better center than he is a guard. But, again, you just can't get any coordination up there, you know, having to bring in new guys.
Yeah, flipping around a lot.
And knowing that, you know, obviously – the Packers have a pretty darn good pass rush, and that was before Parsons got there, right? So, you know, the attention's going to have to be on him, but you got better not forget Gary. He can hurt you.
For real.
And from what I saw, they like blitzing their linebackers to kind of complicate things in the blocking scheme. So, these guys are going to have their hands full. But again, if you can at least run the ball to keep, you know, keep that rush at bay, then you give yourself a little bit better pocket protection. But again, you know, if you have to double Micah, you have to double Micah. Just do it. And don't sit there and say, well, let's see what happens. No, because things happen fast, right? And the other thing I saw the Packers, what they were doing, and I don't know if the Cowboys were doing this too, but to free him up, Parsons up, there was a lot of times the defensive tackle just attacked the offensive tackle.
Right.
To get him off of Micah and let him either go further outside or loop inside and see if somebody else can pick him up. And they were doing it repeatedly against the Browns. Now, they ended up with two sacks in the game, but both were Gary's, and Micah just had pressures. So, you know, you would say, I'll take that if that's the best I can do.
Now, I understand what just happened to the Packers in their last game, and I certainly get the idea of any given Sunday, but Schottenheimer said that he thinks the Cowboys, even without Lamb and Booker, are good enough to beat the Packers. Like, that's why we play the games, but just looking at it on paper, do you see that same optimism that he does?
Well, you know, I'm going to give him credit for knowing more than I do.
Yeah. Right. And I know he's not going to come out and be like, we're screwed. Yeah, yeah. You're right.
Yeah. You got to have a stiff upper chin, right?
Or yeah.
Whatever lip, whatever yep. it's supposed to be. It hey, better be stiff.
Yes. See, there you go. Now, we talked about this the other day, is the good and bad of how many catches Jake Ferguson has. So, like, Jake Ferguson, second in the NFL and first among overall with 27 catches, first among tight ends, and that's phenomenal. But also, do you kind of see the negative of that in terms of it feels like there's plenty of those catches that are either because the pocket collapsed or you couldn't get another option open a little bit further down the field?
Well, I think that was the case this past game, right?
Yeah, for sure.
He had like 13 catches,
yep.
And most of them were outlet passes. So it's like, okay, got to dump it off. Okay, they're blitzing, or boy, it looks like they're bringing more than I can see my guys block. I better get the ball out of my hands real quick. Yeah. Now, if those catches were 10, 15 yards downfield on the run, then that's a different story. But a lot of those was, run 5 yards, turn, and stop, and then I'll hit you.
Yeah.
It's a good relief, but it can't be your offense. It's got to be better. You got to be able to get the ball down the field. You know, and I was thinking about this. It's like, okay, so everybody's like, well, Pickens can take Lamb's spot, okay? Now who takes Pickens' spot?
Yeah, yeah. Because then you think Tolbert
saying?
And, yeah, no,
Jonathan Mingo.
Well, he's still out.
Well,
okay. So.
All right.
Maybe, yeah.
All right. Fine.
No, I think your point's well made. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very bold thing in the league when and next man up. And it's like, okay, well, who's next to the next man up?
Yeah.
And so that's where you can say, well, okay, Pickens can do this. And I think he can. But now who can do what Pickens does? And then, you know, between Tolbert and Kevontae Turpin, those guys now need to be the guys that step up if you're going to get that passing game going, if you can block it up front.
See, Mickey, I would appreciate it if you didn't bring those things up because then I'll start to think about cornerback and offensive line as well. And I just don't have brain space for that today. Thank you very much, good sir. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow.
I'll see what I can do tomorrow.
There you go, Mickey Spagnuolo, always trying to bring us the info and fix the team.
Maybe we get Deron Bland and Diggs together for a dinner or something. To see
I don't,
if they can work
I don't,
relationship out.
I am not aware
I'm convinced
of any,
that if we invited them both, one of them would be like, oh, I can't make it, you know?
I mean, probably, but I think that has more to do with us than it does their enjoyment of one another.
No, one of them would make it. The other
oh,
one
okay.
wouldn't.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's do some gridiron gravy. Which NFL teams have the best front office next right here on The Fan?
He'll look to throw to the sideline. It's Smith. He's got it. Touchdown, Philly. All the way back to take the lead.
PNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Globe Life Field in Arlington. Want to remind everybody they got the Texas Rangers 5K coming up presented by Medical City Healthcare. It's going to be at Globe Life Field on November 9th.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can register now at globelifefield.com/Rangers5K. And we got Gridiron in just a second because Melissa Stark is coming up at 11:40. But, Corey, I do believe you have more information about the Jamie Benn lung collapse injury that we talked about this morning.
Yeah, our friend Robert Tiffin, who friend of the show, has frequently
he
been on.
He is very plugged in.
Yeah, absolutely plugged in. Jim Nill says Jamie Benn came back to the bench and said he felt funny. The team did x-rays and diagnosed a small hole in his lung. Ben was taken to the hospital that night where he'll get surgery. Nil said they expect a full recovery, but he'll be shut down for 4 weeks. Nil said Ben will be around the team after the surgery, but won't be able to travel for a month. Should be eligible for light contact starting then, but obviously they're going to be cautious. Quote from Nil, it wasn't a big hit or anything. He was turning to protect the puck, and a guy came in from behind and almost just a fluke. So that's that's from, our friend Robert Tiffin. That's an update on Jamie Benn. I hate to hear that he came to the bench, he said he felt funny, and then all of a sudden, there's a hole in your lung, bro. Like, that's
terrifying.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just thinking out loud then, if he'll be reevaluated at 4 weeks, and maybe then he can start light contact, we're talking about, at least 2 months, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that sounds about right, man.
That is unfortunate. I guess the hope would be that you'll have some players that I kind of thought they were going to be more limited with Jamie Benn's ice time going forward this year anyway.
I did too, yeah.
So hopefully some of those players will be able to thrive in those roles a little bit sooner, and then you'll get the obvious grit, determination, and leadership that Jamie Benn brings back around to the team.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, what say, Corey? We go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip and rip it.
Now, Alec, I want to get your opinion on this real quick.
Oh.
I don't know if you heard this quote. Was yesterday a tough day to be Anthony Richardson? So Anthony Richardson is just minding his business, not being the starter for the Colts, and based on early reports, he'll never get that job back. But he's just living his life. And then Mike Tomlin is talking about, facing a quarterback who's less mobile than maybe you originally thought the starter was going to be because they're playing Carson Wentz. And this is what he said. I told the guys last year to keep Anthony Richardson upright because we don't want to let Flacco into the game. So Anthony Richardson is just living his life. They're not even playing each other. And then all of a sudden, he takes a shot from Mike Tomlin.
Jeez. Yeah, it's kind of like the whole how do you get fired on your day off kind of thing. He's literally minding his business. But that's another reason why Mike Tomlin press conferences are just gold, because he will say the most random things that are so unnecessary. Yeah. But it gives us content, so I'm here for it.
And he will also judge you on your questions.
Really?
Yeah, but he'll be more outward about it. Where Belichick used to just kind of stare at people, and Mike Tomlin would be like, well, what do you think I'm going to say to that?
The stare of, do you think that was a good question?
Yes, yes.
Did you really think I was going to answer that question?
Exactly.
Without even saying it, he just stared at you.
Exactly. All right. Gentlemen, who do you believe has the best front office in the NFL? Because The Athletic took a poll about this for players, front offices, different folks in franchises, and they've voted on who has the best front office.
I don't want to say this, Alec, because the team I think has the best one I've been accused of being a fan of many times.
Alec, do you think it's Corey's favorite team?
I do think it's Corey's favorite team.
I think it's the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, Corey, it's a great day for you because it is indeed
a great day for me.
The Philadelphia Eagles, they are number one on the board. They got 11 first-place votes. The Ravens got 9. No other team in the NFL got more than 3.
Dude, the Ravens front office has been consistent for so long. You know, like, I mean, go back to when Ozzie Newsome started building the foundation for this thing. He built that with a culture. He really did build a culture.
Yeah,
there. Unfortunately, he had the players there to help build the culture, and Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, they did that as well. But he absolutely has done an amazing job. But Howie Roseman right now, if he needs a player, he gets a player. If he if his second guy on the bench is not better than your first guy, he's like, how do I make that guy better than your first guy?
Right.
He's out there trying to make his roster deep, deep, deep.
Now, gentlemen, I'm going to go through this quickly. I hope you can process all of this complex information. How many first-place votes did the Cowboys get? 0. Second-place votes, 0. Third-place votes, 0. Fourth, fifth, 0. They only went up to fifth place.
Do you think the Micah thing affected the people in the locker room?
Yes. In terms of people's perception?
Yeah, the people in that locker room, I wonder if they look at that and they're just not – they're like, they don't want to win.
So,
or
can I tell
they
you,
aren't building for this team.
I hate to say this, and I kind of wonder this. Do you guys wonder if even without the Micah trade, if they would have got 0 votes?
Maybe. I feel like they may have gotten 1.
Okay, we have somebody right here is like, oh, yeah, thumbs up.
I just wonder how much that affected some of these guys' desire to put it all on the line out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. Like, if you're in the locker room, I can see how obviously from a competitive and friendship standpoint that took a toll.
I'm not accusing them of being soft. I know it's a human nature thing.
Yeah,
and that's
for
why
sure.
I'm curious about it.
No, I understand where you're coming from. Absolutely. All right. Just something to keep an eye out on. Baker Mayfield made an appearance on the injury report yesterday.
I know.
I'm not saying that's going to be an issue. He did have a sleeve on the affected area. I feel like we'll probably know more today and certainly by Friday, but I think he'll play.
Because he's a gamer.
He is. Actually, yes. That is a perfect way to put it. Chris Godwin, by the way, he is back at practice. Terry McLaurin back out there getting some work, but Jaden Daniels, he says he's good to go.
Okay.
And he says it's up to the doctors. And there still has not been an official determination there. So I know he says he's good to go, and he really wants to be out there. But just keep an eye out on that for the Commanders. They might have still one more week of lingering issues.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Both McLaurin and Jaden Daniels.
Okay. All right. I'll keep an eye on it for you.
But, I mean, look.
I'll report back if I see anything new.
Thank you very much. My guess would be it's more likely that McLaurin plays than Daniels.
Okay.
Just because it seems like they're being extra cautious with him, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does.
Now, I've been wanting to talk about this all week. Haven't really had the opportunity. I would love to throw it out right now. for, once again, college scouts and NFL executives, ESPN did like an informal survey of who's your QB one in the upcoming draft.
Okay.
Now, this was before Arch Manning got to pose and flex on, I believe it was Sam Houston State. But number one was Lenora Sellers.
I was just about to say, yes. I feel like Sellers is the guy.
Lenora Sellers is number one. He got 8 votes. Garrett Nussmeier got 7 votes.
With all those bad decisions, huh?
Again, keep in mind this took place before last weekend.
Okay, all right. He still was making bad decisions last year.
Look,
so.
Man, maybe people think Nussmeier is the Favre of it, where you're like, hey, you're going to have to deal with some of that crap.
Interesting.
Okay? But then think about this. Other players getting multiple votes. Carson Beck, Johnny Mateer, Drew Aller. I have not said Arch Manning one time. And he's in the mix. He was in a group with Sam Leavitt from Arizona State. And it's just staggering.
He hasn't done anything to deserve it yet.
You're right.
And the expectation for him is so high that it's going to be difficult to even be like, no, he actually is that dude.
Ooh, so at this point, is your hypothesis then maybe he can prove stuff, but the level that he's going to have to prove is probably unreasonable.
Especially the way that it started.
Okay.
Like if he, you know, that first game was bad. But now to go from that to whatever, anytime you beat up on a team, on a subpar team or a team that's not in the SEC, if you beat up on somebody else, it doesn't matter. You have to do this. You have to prove it right in the big games against Georgia. You have to prove it in the big games against OU. I mean, you're going to have to do it there too. Otherwise, people are going to go, well, he benefits from being at Texas.
Sure.
You have to be the one that puts up the numbers and takes the team all the way, and because of the name. That's the unfortunate crown he has to wear.
I want to wrap back around to Baker Mayfield for just a second. Did you see that the Eagles, at least their plan, was to go to Tampa early? And Baker Mayfield went out of his way to be like, hey, coming in a day early is not going to help you with the heat. So, like, when you said a gamer,
yeah,
thank you very much. It's that kind of D-hole move that I also think, like, his fans love about him,
oh,
right?
Yeah,
and if you're against him, you're like, you're the worst. Shut up.
Yeah.
Nnamdi Amadebuke, something to keep an eye out on for the Ravens. He's going to be out this week, but there is serious concern with the Ravens that his neck injury might make him miss a whole lot of time.
Really? Oh,
and
no.
So this is a team that has got their own struggles. I know that they probably think that they should already be 3-0, but that defense has not necessarily looked like world beaters, and so if you lost another person there, that could be problematic. Let's go from that to Christian McCaffrey. He had his 12th 10 reception game, and that is now the most for a running back in NFL history.
Well, good for him, man.
Do you really mean that?
Yeah, I really do. I'm a huge fan of the receiving running back.
Yeah.
I think it's a big part of what the NFL is today and should be in the future.
And then finally we go back to the Eagles. I think he's going to be fine, but Lane Johnson did get dinged up on their latest attempt at the tush push.
Okay.
And then A.J. Brown said, hey, look, the goal is to win the game, and obviously we want to do that first. But he also thinks their offense can be more aggressive. You know, Drew Brees caught a lot of attention earlier this week. He's like, oh, my God, their offense is so boring. And now even A.J. Brown's kind of like, hey, kind of, sort of, maybe we could be just a little bit more
explosive.
Aggressive. Exactly. And then the Patriots did sell 8% of the stake in their team, and that is at a $9 billion valuation. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next from NBC Sunday Night Football, ladies and gentlemen, it's Melissa Stark next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Globe Life Field for the Rangers' last home game. If you hear all of the noise in the background, but right now joining us, NBC Sports Melissa Stark. She will be reporting from the sidelines as the Packers face the Cowboys this week on Sunday Night Football at 7:20 p.m. That's Central on NBC and Peacock. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Man, we're doing great.
Awesome.
And yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you've heard about this. I feel like it's been really undercovered. Did you know that Micah is coming?
Wait.
Yeah, Micah is coming back to Dallas for the first time since getting traded. I don't know if you've heard about that. Feels like it could be a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a little something. You know, it's funny. I wish I was talking to you guys later in the day because we're talking to him today. this afternoon, so I cannot wait. You know, he's obviously already said a lot this week, and it was interesting what he said about sacking Dak. And, you know, I know so much has been made of this. But, you know, when you talk to these guys and, you know, they can internalize and have something be so personal to them, but you really, at the end of the day, I mean, you don't want to get overhyped. You don't want to make it more than what it is. But how can you not in this instance, right? And then especially for the, you know, the other guys, for a lot of the Cowboys, like Trayvon Diggs, I mean, this is his best friend, you know?
Yeah.
It's a lot for not just Micah, but for a lot of them.
Yeah, that's actually, we were just kind of discussing that, Melissa. Have you gotten an inkling of talking to people in the Cowboys locker room that they are hurt by the way that whole Micah situation went down?
For sure. I mean, I would say Trayvon would be the most. I mean, Trayvon talks to him every day, and Trayvon, you know, said, not only are we losing an incredible football player, but I was crushed. I'm losing my best friend, who he loved from day one. He just thought he had the it factor, which he does. And Trayvon said, you know, I saw a lot of myself in him. And so, I mean, I think people, the fans are so dialed in to the competition and the game and who wins and everything, but they forget that there's really a personal aspect to all of this. I mean, you see when coaches get fired, right? And fans are, you know, say good riddance. But there's to all of this, that's families moving. There's a lot. It's lifestyle changes. It's everything. It's a lot. It's not just part of the business. You forget that these are real human beings, right, when it comes down to it.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I know we're focused on Cowboys-Packers, but I'm still kind of reeling from the Packers losing to the Browns. This is a team that in the first 2 weeks, man, the Packers look ready to just take over, and then they lose to a Browns team that I know their defense is good, but it does not feel like they're particularly well-respected across the league. How did that loss happen?
Offensively, you mean? Yeah. I mean, I think Jordan Love's under a ton of pressure. They've got to get the run game going. But the defense is phenomenal, right?
So, yes.
I think that, you know, ultimately, if you talk to, I've talked to so many people within the NFL throughout my career, and a lot of it, you know, you have to have healthy players. You have to, a little bit of it sometimes comes down to luck or the way the ball bounces or this or that. I mean, that was sort of a fluke. I mean, I think we all sat there and we were just sort of stunned by how that ended.
Yeah.
But I don't think, I mean, I think overall the Packers, you know, are going to be just fine once they, you know, you've got Josh Jacobs and who had a quiet week, right, in that game. So it's just, and they talk about how bothered they are by that. So I think the Packers will come out feisty and determined, and maybe that's not such good news for the Cowboys.
Yeah, probably not. And LaFleur was pretty vocal whenever he was talking about, you know, I guess somebody had mentioned we could run the table, we could go undefeated.
Undefeated.
And, yeah. I wonder if it was.
No coach ever wants to hear that, right? He's like, he goes, I've said it a lot to the media. Maybe I haven't said it enough to my players. I mean, that's bulletin board material if you ever want it. You do not want them. It's the cliche of cliches, right, in sports, one game at a time, and you hate getting it as an answer. But, I mean, you cannot look ahead. You cannot say that.
Yeah, and that's. I'm so glad you said the one game at a time, one play at a time thing, because I have so many questions about your job specifically. Kevin, I'm about to dive into this. I told you it was going to happen. Do you ever get the feeling that, like, that 25, 30 seconds that you have, do you ever get the feeling that some of those guys you're interviewing right before the game are nervous?
Okay, so it's funny because we always talk about this, and I say, do we want to do those interviews? Do we want to? And then it's saying, okay, do you want to get Patrick Mahomes in the face of the and it's the star power, and it's almost, does it really even matter what he says? And I say yes. I'd love for them to be more fun, or you get something out of them, but I think no matter what I had asked, I'm just looking back to last week's games, right? And we had the Chiefs.
He gave you the same answer three times, yeah.
I mean, without a doubt, he might say, so sometimes I say, you know, maybe it's better to get, you know, we had Puka Nacua once, and he was so funny. I mean, I think I asked something about his hair, you know, I don't even know, but it's like, it might be more refreshing to not get the face of the franchise or the star. They are definitely so locked in. I remember that with Dak. Was it last year or 2 years ago when I interviewed him pre-kick? And I think it was the first time we'd done it. And they are, I wouldn't say that they're so dialed in already by that point. And we pre-tape that. So let's say, you know, kickoff's about 8:20. We do that as they clear the field at about 7:52 or so.
Oh, okay.
And even then, I mean, you'd think, okay, you're still 30 minutes. You haven't gone back in the locker room and given that final speech or anything. You'd think even then they might be a little more relaxed, but they are totally dialed in.
And then also,
so I don't know. I go back and forth. Go ahead.
How is that kind of structured? Do you have, they're like, you got 30 seconds or you got three questions? I've always wondered how you handle that.
Okay, so we know for the broadcast that we really don't want to go over 1 minute.
Okay.
So I have three questions in mind, and if I'm running long, the producer will say into my ear, wrap it, you know, after two questions.
Gotcha.
But I usually say to the player, just so they know, I usually say to the player, hey, three quick questions, you know, so that they know, and maybe that makes them too quick in their answers, but you don't want them to just ramble on and on and on. And then that takes me, if you want to know more about my job, then that takes me to the coaches' interviews,
mm-hmm.
which really can't go, you know, I do one going into halftime, and we got to get to the halftime show, and people who don't understand TV, like, you got to get to a break at a certain point, and you've got to get, you know, you have all these things that you need to take care of. So if that goes over about 22 or 25 seconds, they're going to wrap me before the second question. So I was a little bit bummed. I was talking to Brian Daboll at the start of the third quarter, and I had to wrap it before I asked him about the Graham Gano kicking situation, so which was a huge factor because he had a groin injury right in pregame warm-up. So I really did want to ask how that was going to affect play calling. You know, they had gone for it on fourth down a lot in the first half. So I didn't get to answer that because sometimes I'll nod my head really fast, like, hey, I want to get to my next question, you know?
Yep.
And sometimes they don't take that hint. But, yeah, I mean, there's, you know, you want to get the information, you want to get that to the viewers, but then there's also the whole TV component and timing, and you don't want the coach talking too long over the play. I had that once, funny enough, with Dan Campbell last year. We taped that interview at the end of, you know, to go into the third quarter, and we always say Dan Campbell's such good TV, let him talk as much as he wants. So I asked the second question. And the producer was so mad at me. He's like, why didn't you wrap that? It's too long. But when we rolled it in, Dan Campbell goes, we need a turnover. And when they rolled it back in, they got a turnover at the exact same time.
Look at that. It's like you were directing
then the producer's
it.
Like, then the producer's like, oh, great job, Melissa. You know. Yeah,
that is. We're talking with Melissa Stark right here on 105.3 The Fan. That is a really fun part about your job, about our job, and I'm using fun very loosely, that you're trying to talk to someone while somebody else is saying a different conversation in your ear at the exact same time. That's a challenging skill. Now, I feel like you've really set it up well for us, but I'm hoping you can just go back to this. Can you walk us through the adrenaline that you feel personally being on the sideline with the lights on and when that camera goes on?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you asked that, and I'm glad you did, because I'm however many years into my career, you know, I started on Monday Night Football when I was 26, you know, so 25 years ago. So I still get, that's why I know the players get it. I mean, I still get that adrenaline and that your heart gets racing and you know you don't have, you know, the coach can be super angry, you know, as you're going into the half, or some kind of turnover just happened right before you talked to him, or, you know, they wanted me, you know, I knew I had to ask about Travis Kelce getting into it with Andy Reid, and I know the PR staff did not want me to ask that. So it's like, it's this whole behind the scenes thing of, you know, that definitely gets your heart racing, and I definitely take none of it for granted. It's electric, and there's so much energy, especially a night game under the lights, and you know everyone's watching, and it's prime time, and I hope that never goes away. I don't think it will.
Now, we're talking with Melissa Stark right here on the D&M Leasing Hotline. I wanted to know, I know you said you're getting ready to talk to Micah and some of the other folks. During all the pre-production meetings and everything else, could you or have you found any more players for the Cowboys secondary? Because we could really use some.
Oh, my God. I love it. Well, yesterday I did talk to Deron Bland, so there you go. So he's going to play, obviously, for sure. I'll check back in with him before. But, you know, I think he thinks, even though he's a soft-spoken guy, he's taken over, right, as a leader on this team. And I think he thinks, you know, it's just a couple communication issues here and there, and that him coming back will make a massive difference. And I'm sure Cowboys fans obviously hope the same.
Well, you might have just broken a little news there, because he was limited in practice yesterday. You said he's definitely going to play?
Well, that's what he told me. Well,
okay.
Yep.
There you go. Breaking news right
Look
there.
That. Look at that.
Yes. Yep. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah. That.
Yes, it is. We're stoked now.
Absolutely. That is exciting. Now, I understand a lot of the hype on this game is about Micah returning to Dallas, but it's early in the season. This really feels like another game that could define the direction of the season for both of these teams, with Green Bay looking to get back on their kind of favorited status, and the Cowboys really trying to hold on to not letting this season slip away. Is that the way you view it at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a ton on the line, even though it's early in the season. There's so much on the line with this one. And obviously, you guys know this, the Cowboys, I would say, are under the most, other than New York teams, the Cowboys are under the most scrutiny of
all
any team, I would say, out of the 32. But I think, you know, it is so early. But a ton on the line in this one, aside from the Micah situation. And, you know, we're so excited that we have it on NBC. We're so excited we have it in prime time. I mean, how lucky are we when that happened and we looked at the schedule? It's like, that's awesome that we have this game. But I think you know, obviously the Cowboys getting the running game going. I mean, Javonte Williams, I think, you know, he's a guy who has a lot to prove, but, you know, coming back from injury. And he's like, you know, I know – no one really, not that he doesn't, I don't even think he cares about respect, but I think, you know, I talked to him before the kickoff game when we had that game against the Eagles as well. So I think that's a matter of getting the running game going. You know, Dak is Dak. He's just steady. And, but I mean, I think not having CD is, I mean, we're going to see, but, you know, I did talk to Jake Ferguson as well yesterday, and obviously he's emerged, and he said, you know, Dak points to me as the guy to bring the physicality, and he always says, I'm the guy who has to bring the juice for the team, and and so I think he relishes that and looks forward to that. He's looking for his first touchdown, as we know, but, you know, the CD factor is, we can't discount that by any means.
Yeah. Well, you brought us amazing insight and also a little bit of breaking news to boot.
Oh, absolutely.
The game.
Yeah. There you go.
Thank you very much. 7:20 p.m. Central on NBC and on Peacock. Melissa, you were fantastic. We'd love to have you back anytime.
Thanks for having me. I'm headed to Dallas tonight and to practice tomorrow, so maybe awesome. I'll see you guys when I'm out there.
Get a good brisket sando while you're here, all right?
Thank you very much.
All right, take care, guys.
There you go. Melissa Stark right here on 105.3 The Fan. We'll pick up that part, but Deron Bland flat out told her, I'm going to play.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Perhaps a relief from some of the Cowboys Nation right there. Coming up next, for better or worse, what have you been really wrong about with the Cowboys thus far? Plus, maybe I'll give you some Micah props next, live from Globe Life Field on 105.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.